You're listening to Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman, the special Weird Al tribute of Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman. And we've got a very special guest on the phone, keyboardist for Weird Al, Ruben Valtierra. Did I say it right?
It's perfect.
Really?
It's perfect. I love you. Marry me.
Well, we did spend at least 5 minutes discussing it off the air.
Yes, we did.
But,
yes, we did. But you got it right, and everything's great, right, Essen?
Yeah, that's right. And to the listeners, they just think I'm a great pronouncer.
Essen or Ethan?
It's Ethan.
Okay. Now I got it. Now we're on the same page.
What about my last name? Do you know my last name?
Let's see. I forget.
It's Allman.
Allman. Ethan, yeah. Allman.
That's right.
That sounds like a candy bar.
You know, it could be. It's not almond. You know? It's not like the
Tracy.
Nut. It's U-L-L, like Tracy, yeah.
Oh, I see. And you say my name wrong, and it's a sandwich.
You know, if we say each other's names wrong, then we're just a pairing of food.
If we keep going along this line, then we're wasting everybody's time, but they probably already shut off by now.
Well, if they're listening to my show, they're already wasting time, so... I'm sure they'll be fine with this.
Well, cool. I'm honored to be here.
Ruben, I'm very honored to...
You did it, see? You already did it.
Ruben?
You already called me Ruben.
Ruben.
I'm hanging up.
Okay. Ruben, I'm very honored to have you on the show.
No, nobody respects me.
I respect you a lot.
I used to be, I used to play Carnegie Hall. I used to be like one of the up-and-coming Leonard Bernstein picks for classical pianists. I used to have fame, I used to have fortune, and then I met Al.
Well, I'm a very big fan of your music, and I'd say you're probably my favorite keyboardist.
Aw, come on.
Yep.
So obviously you got my check in the mail.
I haven't cashed it yet. I'm not completely sure it's legit, but
that's all I can afford. Hey, I'm a musician. I'm an artist. Yeah, that's it. An artist. All this art? My God.
Ruben.
Yes.
All right, Ruben. All right, so I want to ask you some questions.
That was like 5 minutes on my name.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I'm very sure.
No, please, no.
All right. I want to skip to this question. So the biggest Weird Al fan I know is Dan Rossi, and he has tattoos, caricatures of each band member, except for you. Does that hurt your feelings?
No, because the thing is I've seen the tattoos, and I can only guess that there's only space for one more, and I think I know where it is. So I will not have anything to do with this venture. Thank you very much.
You're not a little hurt.
No, he asked me, and I said no.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding around. I've looked and I've seen his body and where the tattoos are. I'm going, there's only space for one more. And people already call me that name. I don't have to have it like a visual of it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is a family show.
No, it
is. That's
isn't.
Right. I'm known as the adult portion of the Al show. So.
Well, my show is not family. I'm sorry. Maybe a very messed up family, but not family.
All right. Cool, then I'll hang out.
All right. All right, so tell me how you got into the band.
I fell on my head.
Really?
Yes.
And that was the audition process? You just have to sit on your head?
I fell on my head. Okay, so I'm a keyboardist that has been playing... for many years in not top 40 bands, but like bands like Chick Corea's kind of bands, fusion and heavy technical stuff, and a lot of soloing, a lot of chops.
Okay.
And I had a classical background, and I had a jazz background, and I was into jazz fusion and rock and stuff like that. And I get a call to... it says, Weird Al needs a keyboard player, but it wasn't really that. It was that Dr. Demento was having his 20th anniversary show being taped, and Al's band was the rhythm section for it.
Okay.
But they didn't have a keyboardist, so somebody I know was in the orchestra, one of the horn players, and he recommended me. I went, and it was I was backing up all of Dr. Demento's guests, playing the the guy that did the Purple People Eater and Bobby Boris Pickett doing the Monster
okay.
Mash. And then Al has a bit. He's the star of the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like asking the guys. I'm asking Jim West and Bermuda, who I just met that day. Where's your regular keyboardist? And they say, well, Al doesn't really have a regular keyboardist. So I've been in town for about maybe a year in L.A.
Yeah.
And I go, Al doesn't have a regular keyboardist. And they go, no. And I say, cha-ching. this was a chance. So I'm like, okay, so Al does a thing where he lowers the lights and has the keyboardist play some soft cocktail music. Well, we did that, and the keyboardist is supposed to start, playing a little too much, and Al gives him a look, and the keyboardist stops. Then the keyboardist does it again, plays too much. Al gives him a look, he stops. It does it again. Finally, Al goes up, taps the guy on the shoulder, and pokes him in the eye. And the guy goes, Al, right. So... when it came time for when the taping came, we did the bit, and I started overplaying. So Al gives me a look, and I kind of stop and look around, look stupid, and people are starting to laugh. And then we do it again. I stop and look around, look stupid again. The next time, the last time, he comes up, taps me on the shoulder. Instead of me turning to him, I really patted. I waved him off. I pushed him away. And kept going.
Okay.
He looked around and said, huh? He did it again. I pushed him away again. He finally got really mad at me and turned me around and slammed me in the head with doing the eye poke. Whereupon, instead of saying, ouch, I flew off a 6-foot riser, dragging all sorts of drapes and curtains, smashed onto the floor.
Oh my God.
Production, Jay Levy, the manager and the director of the show, stopped production. Everybody came running over and saying, oh my God, Ruben, what? And they found me on the floor in the middle of a bunch of giant pillows that I had set up.
Oh.
Because I wanted to be Al's keyboardist.
You wanted to make an impression.
And I made an impression on my head pretty much. It's still there. I haven't been the same since.
Oh, and, man, so that Al just hired you on the spot?
They looked at me, and they looked at each other, and they said, we did this show, and that was fun, and then I went off to France to play in a super group in Monte Carlo with, like, Stevie Wonder's people and Diana Ross's people.
Oh, cool.
This is what I was usually doing. I was playing this kind of stuff. And I got a call from Steve J saying, hey, I listened to my answering service. And it was Steve J saying, hey, Ruben, Al, I'm the bass player with Al. And he said he loves your stuff and he wants you to come on tour. So here's this number. And I'm like desperately trying to scratch it into the wall of the phone booth in France because I didn't have a pencil or anything.
Oh,
and it's really hard to make calls there and get retrieve calls. And the next thing I know, that was the beginning of the 92 tour, the Off the Deep End tour. And the thing is that the truth be said, and I'm not kissing up, I'm just telling the truth. I've been playing with a lot of great artists. This kind of music was not what I was, it was like top 40-ish and whatever. And it wasn't my stuff. But I saw in rehearsal and I saw in performance how great Al really was. Even though he's much more nervous back in those days and just more frenetic, But I saw it. And I saw his work ethic. And I saw the talent. and I saw the dedication, and I said, this is not just a gig that you do. And he thinks a lot. I really wanted to stick with Hal.
Yeah.
And I've had lots of offers from all sorts of different artists. Tower of Power, all sorts of people, you know. I said no, because I've seen a lot of people go through these, you know, play with these artists for a couple of months or a year, and then something happens, and
right.
and they go away, or they get bored of this or that. Or the artist is like just a one-hit wonder for, you know, he's
right.
really great for like a couple of months. And I'm here playing with one of the great entertainers, great performers, and great artists.
Yeah.
I think I'm kissing up, but it's the truth.
It is. Yeah, I agree with you. You know,
the guy's a legend in his own time, and I'm proud to be part of it.
I don't think there are many other performers that you can really name that have remained great and relevant for as long as he has.
Well, that's the thing. The thing is he's got the work ethic, because he just goes in, he won't stop working. But the thing is that he's got the genius in that he went in and created his own category, his own niche. And the genius thing about it is he will always have an audience.
Yeah.
Because he could get edgier, super edgy. He's got that kind of, he's got that mind. He's got that humor. He could do it. But the thing is he found what works. He sticks with it. It is close to his heart.
Yeah.
So he's not like you know, being false about it. But the stuff he comes up with, you know, it's what it is. And, you know, there's always a new audience.
Yeah.
And yet, he's such a great performer that he keeps the old audience.
Yeah.
So it's just bigger and bigger and bigger every time we go out. You know, so I'm very proud of it. So what do you think of that? How'd I do?
I think you did great. Were you a fan of Al before you, you know, performed with them and then joined the band?
Well, I mean, I knew his material and stuff, and I still remember being with driving down to a concert somewhere. Not Al, just one of my gigs, and it was like a two-hour drive, and my friend pops in his cassette and says, "You gotta listen to this," and we heard 3D and the polka medley and the whole thing, and it was just, it was funny, it was ridiculous. But if somebody had come up to me, or somebody had turned to me at that moment and said, "By the way, you're going to be playing with this guy, this is the guy you're going to be playing with for 20 years and on," I would have looked at him and said, you know, shut up. Most ridiculous thing. Just like, stop wasting my time. Because it was just like, no, I would never. Because I was doing more of a Herbie Hancock's concept, salsa, all sorts of stuff. You know, the Yellow Jackets, David Sanborn. That's the kind of stuff. My band always sounded like what the Letterman band used to sound like with Paul Schaefer like 20 years ago. Doing all that really hip stuff.
Yeah.
And I would have never have thought that I was doing this. But it's like, the guy's so great. I mean, come on. Because that's the thing. It's like, you can hope to be playing great music. And you can play great music, but sometimes the leader is just the worst person in the world, or doesn't have it together at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nothing is right. And, you know, and it's just like, so you may love the music, but the rest of it, forget it. And Al is a great leader, and he just treats us really great. So I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, what did they do for a keyboardist before you came along?
They had some other guy who was more of a studio guy, and he didn't really want to tour that much. He went off to produce more stuff with, with Ritchie Blackmore from Purple and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I think he was more of a stay-at-home guy. And, you know, the thing is Al started off kind of small, and the concerts were kind of crazy and frenetic and just not as produced as they are, obviously, now. I mean,
Yeah, even I was at the Turning Stone show, and the year before I was at the Watertown show. And even just in 1 year, the production value increased tremendously. Like the integrated projectors, that was amazing.
Yeah, and the thing is that he actually just went out and upgraded the technology even more, because we've been talking to him about really upgrading to higher. He had like a special kind of server that was very proprietary. You couldn't find this thing anywhere. It was like a one-of-a-kind thing. And so if it broke down, which, you know, first rehearsal, I think FedEx came in and delivered the server, and as they got to the door, they dropped it.
Oh, my God.
for the entire like Australian tour a couple of years ago, the thing would just freeze.
Oh, man.
And it's like time for Ruben to run out and, you know, prance around and look like an idiot. You know, to stall for time. Or that's why I would do things like radio, you know, that everybody knows that when he does radio, it's because there's a problem. I mean, that's the funny thing about connectivity and YouTube and everything. It's like the concerts aren't really a surprise anymore. It's the weirdest thing. It's like with Bruce Springsteen said, it's so weird to be playing in front of people, but they're not looking at you. They're all looking at their cell phones and filming it.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that our concerts aren't a mystery anymore, because everybody's out there with their cell phones,
right?
You know, filming it, and then they go home and they upload it on YouTube. So everybody knows that, you know, when we play radio, it means something wrong happened. Well, the thing is that he got rid of that server and has upgraded even to a higher technology, and everything is totally seamless now. It's just...
And that's the one that I saw a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, and it's gotten even better, because they've gone in and tweaked it even more.
Wow.
But now, you know, that's the end of that run. We're getting ready to put on a new tour.
Any chance that Like a Surgeon's going to be added?
I'm not going to say anything about that.
I think when I must have been 9, or when I saw that my first one, and I think that must have been the Running with Scissors tour. You guys did Like a Surgeon.
We did the Madonna Like a Surgeon one.
Right. And you came out, and that was incredible.
Well, yeah, that was the end of my musical career. And
luckily before YouTube, though.
You know, but he did, there is a legacy that is preserved, because we did a concert. And filmed a concert for DVD.
Right.
And the weirdest thing is that it was in my hometown.
Oh, man.
And so, like, you know, and the thing is that this was the Marin Veterans Civic Auditorium, which has, there's a trivia thing that Frampton actually taped, he recorded Frampton Comes Alive, the famous, you know, the historic album,
mm-hmm.
at that place. And I saw it, and I was there. And like a lot of people, you know, millions of people tell Peter, they tell him, oh, yeah, man, I was there. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was you freak. and so all these millions supposedly saw him, you know, at that concert. But I actually did. So I played in my high school orchestra there. I saw Peter Frampton there, and then when I finally appeared there for real, I was in a coma, bro. My parents vowed to never come to any concerts anymore.
Oh, man.
They said, all that money for classical lessons, and this is what you do? Oh. What can you say?
Now, are there any songs, you know, barring... awkward costumes. Are there any songs that are just difficult to perform from a keyboard standpoint?
Well, I mean, the ones that are difficult to perform, if they're deemed, the thing is that Al is in control. He's in charge, and the thing is that with more, with more technology comes more power.
Right.
And he's using it, but the only drawback is, and I'm sure the fans know by now, because it doesn't take much, I would think, to realize that if there's an orchestra and a choir of like 60 people, you know, if there's five guitar parts going at the same time, well, it's kind of impossible for us to be doing it all.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is that that is, of course, a professional secret, but at the same time, it's just gotten crazy.
Yeah. What's common place?
I mean, you know, it's like our favorite songs. I mean, how is anybody going to recreate something like The Genius in France?
Yeah.
You know? How do you do that?
Yeah.
How does anybody recreate some of the Queen songs, you know, with those vocals that are so unbelievably perfect?
Yeah.
You know, not even Queen could do that. So, yeah, we get a little help. And the thing is that if there's something that's really difficult, sometimes I get a little help.
So,
but all the ones that are featured piano parts and stuff, mm-hmm. those are my favorite songs to play.
Now, sorry, you can go on.
Oh, I was just saying that they're my favorite part ones to play because Al has matured in his musicality, where he used to want everything to sound exactly the same as the record.
Yeah.
I used to complain to him. I'm always complaining to him about stuff like that. Because the thing is that some of the songs that he did, he was very young. And he had somebody else. He had Rick Derringer producing.
Right.
And I wasn't a fan of the way Derringer was producing the piano parts. Some of them were really cheesy. And the songs were really good. Something like You Don't Love Me Anymore. That's a great song to play on the keyboard. And you can take a lot of liberties with it and still make it sound really good. But he had a really cheesy part on it. And he wanted me to recreate that all the time. I finally got sick and complained. And he said, okay. Sounds like I lost you. Are you there?
No, I'm still here. I'm listening intently.
He said it's go for it. Play it the way you like to play it. And so I started doing that, and he started seeing and having confidence in me that let me play it the way I want to play it and
right.
sound better. So a lot of those songs, like You Don't Love Me Anymore, or the one that Ben Folds played, well, Why Does This Always Happen to Me, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? I forget.
I think so.
Some of those things, and they're hard, but I love playing them.
Are you in charge of playing the additional tracks, like of the chorus or extra instruments, or is that someone else?
We have help.
You got like an engineer off stage doing them?
We have a lot of techs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The thing is that Al used to actually have more theater people, people that were more into theater and Broadway plays,
mm-hmm.
Being our techs, but it got to the point where they couldn't hang because the technology was so demanding and they didn't know how to run servers or computers or this.
Right.
If something breaks, you know, we're doomed. So he's been surrounding himself with real high-tech guys. And so everything is running seamless. And if I can't do something, then something else is... It's not... We don't have one solution, like one person pushing a button or this or that. We
right.
have all sorts of different ways to do stuff, and it's all integrated, and it's... too hard to even describe.
So how many people tour? How many people are, you know, traveling with the tour?
I think about 13 or 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Is it all buses? Is there like 10 buses that go around?
Oh, there's no need for 10 buses.
How many buses are there?
Mostly, the band is on one bus, and then the crew is on the other bus.
Oh, okay.
And Al has been just living in that bus. He's got everything all strewn about, and he's got a studio all set up in there, and he's just constantly working. He works until he drops, and then he gets some sleep. It's crazy, though. It's like his voice his throat can't take air conditioning, so he seals off all the vents in his part of the bus, because he's got the major stateroom in the back. He's got the whole half, back half of the bus for himself.
Right.
And he shuts off all this stuff, and he lives back there in about 110 degree heat.
Oh, my
God.
And
he doesn't care. He's just he's Al. He's not like us.
Yeah.
You know? He's the guy that can put his feet behind his head and and what's so strange about this, you know?
With just two buses, how do you transport everything that is needed, you know?
No, there's a semi, too. We have
oh, really?
Yeah, we have trucks.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And,
so
so we've got trucks, and we've got semis, and we have a separate truck that brings around all the Al merchandise, because it's amazing to see all the fans. They just eat it all up.
Well, it's
all one piece of Al.
I think the main thing is that, you know, it's not just thrown together merchandise. It's all really cool stuff. It's not just like slap a name on there and sell it, you know, for
no, there's
$40.
A lot of our merch lady, the lady in charge of it all, does a lot of rock festivals and puts them on, you know. How do I say, manages some major rock festivals, and yet her vacation is to come and work with us, and because she doesn't have as much responsibility, but she knows all about the merch stuff, and she says that, you know, all the other bands, all the other acts just have cheap T-shirts and this and that, and charge a bunch of money, and just, you know, iron on decals and stuff.
Right.
And she makes sure that Al stuff is the highest quality stuff. So
it really is.
Even though the prices may look, like a little inflated or something at the...
Compared to other shows, it's pretty inexpensive to get an Al shirt. Especially considering the quality of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It won't fall apart, you know, after a couple of washings. What am I? Right. Now I sound like Betty White, advertising for GE Hot dishwashers. My God, I'm advertising Al stuff. I don't even get a percentage of that. Wait a minute.
You don't get a percentage of it? Now.
It's not my stuff. Al's the boss. He takes fine care of this.
Okay.
He takes very good care of it.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe first class flights, though. That would be nice. We've got to go to New York pretty soon to do some stuff, so I could do a first class flight. Where are you located right now?
Am I what?
Where are you located right now?
I'm in Albany, New York.
Yeah, we did a thing in Jimmy Fallon open for us. Long time ago, up there.
I've seen you guys every time you've come through since I was 9.
So where was that?
It's at the Palace.
Theater. I know that place.
Yep.
It's got the really nice big marquee and stuff, and it's on the corner.
Yeah, and the dressing rooms are really old and crappy.
You know, I don't. Yeah, we've seen some bad ones.
I'm sure.
But I'll tell you, you know, the ones that what really gets me though. For your interested fans out there, are you really going to use all this?
Yeah.
For all your interested fans out there, the thing that I don't like is some of these theaters have histories. And as much as some people don't believe it, well, you know, I have an open mind. And so those things, they seem to like come around and fool around with me. In other words, some of these places have ghosts. They're haunted.
Wow.
And it might be either ghosts or it might be electrical problems or this or that or a little bit of both, because that's how they manifest themselves.
Right.
There's a place in Pennsylvania called
in Glenside, and it's this little theater, but I always had a funny feeling about it, and then I was told that there's a guy upstairs, you know, who likes to play with the band. And I'm talking about where you're playing and suddenly your programs start changing.
Hmm.
And things like that.
That's
and
weird.
That happened to us the last time we were there, and
really
shut down the server.
Oh, that's weird.
And I went to look at a program that goes from 1 to 127. You know, that's the range.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a MIDI thing. It's a musical thing, a musical technological thing. And the range goes from 1 to 127. The amount that was allotted was minus 5,043.
Oh, my God.
You can't enter a negative number into this stuff. There's no way. You can't spin the knob the opposite direction. It goes into minus numbers. It doesn't do that.
Why does it even... How can it even display a negative number, though?
It just did.
Okay.
It just did. It was a minus... Well, you know, I guess it's set up to show a minus, but even though a minus is not relevant or pertinent or applicable in this case, but there it was.
Wow.
It might as well show the happy face, you know.
Wow, that's creepy.
On my LED screen, I'm like, what the? And it happens every time we go there.
Just that place.
There's other places that have history too, but this place is really strong. And he went in and shut down the server, and Al said, well, that's it. And he went and got the new technology.
Oh, okay.
So what else do you want to know? As you can see, I'm not shy about these things.
No, yeah. I think we're going to have to do another interview sometime because there's a lot I want to ask you. And we're having some good conversation. At least I think we are. I don't know if you're bored.
I'm having a great time. I was worried about saying too much, you know.
If you're saying too much, I'll interrupt you.
Well, I mean, like the album's coming out and people want to know this and that about that. And I'm like, I don't know.
What's the main question people are asking you right now about the new album?
Like, what's the first single, stuff like that. Do you know what the first single is?
Yeah, it's Whatever You Like.
Oh, okay. No comment.
Well, it is, right? Because that was the first song to come out.
Oh.
Do you disagree with me?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, you know, Born This Way is the first
single. Whoa. Well, what's this about? What'd you say?
What is it?
What'd you say?
Did I get it wrong? Is it performed this way?
Did you hear about that? What is that about?
Let me just... What is the Al song? I've never heard the Lady Gaga version, so I'm very confused right now.
All right. What I'm doing is I'm making you say it, not me, so I don't get in trouble. I'm presenting it in a way so that you actually say it and not me, like what it might be.
Is it... It's performed this way, right?
I won't say no.
What's the Lady Gaga song? What's the...
The Lady Gaga song, she has a hit out that's called Born This Way.
Okay, yeah. So I did misspeak. You got me all confused.
But I didn't know that anybody might have known anything about anything that had to do with Lady Gaga and Al.
Ruben.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously that's going to be the promoted big single, but I would disagree if someone said that was the single because Whatever You Like came out like two or three years ago.
Well, I've seen what is going to be presented when the album hits, and I've got to say that I am, you know, the thing is that you've got, and I don't discuss this with Al because it seems like it would be a sensitive thing, but he's actually pretty cool about it. But I'm talking about the fact that people like Andy Samberg and all the Saturday Night Live people are coming up with these digital shorts, basically videos, every week, and they're going viral.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, wow, Al, you know, that's got to be kind of tough because they're always coming out with something. And I haven't really said anything about it. We did mention something, and he said that Andy Samberg's been, like, really nice. Nothing but nice to him, and you know, big fan. And but the thing is, when Al comes out and shows the new video, nobody's going to be talking about Andy Samberg stuff, any of the Saturday Night Live. Nobody's going to remember that stuff.
Is that good of a video?
I've seen what's being readied. It's been a long process, but it's pretty amazing.
I'm really excited.
It's pretty amazing. I think...
Is Lady Gaga in it?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's pretty amazing.
All right.
I mean, in other words, it's like, okay, well, I've been sitting back and I haven't been putting out anything, but I've been waiting, and now here it is.
If you want to spill the beans, I will keep this interview, and I won't...
No, I can't.
No. I won't air it until after the CD comes out.
No, I'm still not going to talk about it.
Okay.
But I'm just going to say it's amazing. And
okay.
You know what? Anybody that doesn't think that it's amazing is just, you know, one of those people with a chip on their shoulder.
So do you think, is the video going to be like how White and Nerdy just completely skyrocketed the second it came out? Is it going to be that?
I didn't know about, I had no idea that White and Nerdy was going to do that, because the thing is, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but I listen to classical, and I listen to jazz, and some salsa and stuff like that. I don't keep up with the latest trends and this and that. I didn't know who Chamillionaire was. I didn't know the song. And then when Alston came out, it just blew, and I had no idea that it would, you know. I thought it was going to be like another, you know, Whatever You Like, or Skipper Dan, or just anything that he's released, you know. Which is good, but I didn't know that it was going to be completely viral. But seeing the video, seeing what he's been working on with the new thing, the new hit, which I still haven't said.
You can't say Perform This Way? It's available on iTunes. You can't talk about it?
Well, I won't talk about what the video is, though.
Okay. Well,
I mean, what it's patterned after, but I think you're getting my gist. Once people see that, it's... I would think, just because, I think it would bring videos back.
You think? Wow.
You know? Yeah.
MTV will have to start showing them again.
I've been waiting. You know, it's, even though I hated videos back then, and then you get used to them, you know, back in the 80s, I kind of miss it now.
I don't think any music video compares to any Weird Al music video. They're just the funniest, most interesting videos to watch.
Well, yeah, his thing is that... you know, Al's this guy who's totally in. He directs everything. He controls everything.
Right.
And it's like, it took me a long time to actually figure out that my input was not required, you know, because I was used to going in and being the star of the show wherever I was, you know, whatever group I was, and you know, having ideas that would, you know, make a song really good.
Yeah.
And I was used to that. And then when I started saying, you know, seeing something was, like, not right in rehearsal, I would, like, speak up and say, don't you want to do, and then everybody would look at me and go, dude, this is not your gig. you're supporting Al. If Al wants it this way, that's
right.
And so the thing is, what I'm saying is that he's in control, and he had other people producing his albums before, and he would sit there and watch them.
Right.
And he learned what to do, and then he got rid of them. And he started producing. And then the same way with the videos. He started watching the video, you know, the director,
mm-hmm.
seeing the way he did it. And he goes, okay, great, now I know. And he got rid of the directors. So he does it all, you know. And so, in other words, he's got carte blanche. He's got the power to be able to call all the shots.
Yeah.
And so he's able to see. And this is what happened. This is what the problem was with the Saturday morning show.
Right. There's so many restrictions from the network.
Well, it's not just the restriction. Well, but there were also the powers that be, you know, the Dick Clark people that came in and said, listen, you got to, this is all fine and well, but you got to also have the, you know, the broccoli part of the show. You know, all the nutritious stuff, all the good stuff, be good to your neighbors and all that kind of. And the thing is that it wasn't about that, and that's why the show did not last, because nobody wanted to see Al be, you know, like, regular guy.
Right.
like and do regular programming. They wanted to see Weird Al be Weird Al, and the stuff that I got to see that wasn't used was great.
Why did they put it on the DVD?
I'm not sure.
I would buy just a special features DVD of that show to see all that stuff.
Yeah, it was great. But at the same time, I think once they started like putting restrictions on him, it might have hampered his creative processes. It might have put a bit of a muzzle on him, and so he might have had an inkling of some crazy thing to do, but then he might have just shut it down.
Right.
And so that's really sad because it could have been really, really, really great.
Yeah. And, even with what we do have, it still is really great. It's not a crap show. I still really enjoy it.
The thing is that I've heard that Pee Wee Herman's Pee Wee's Playhouse, which was on Broadway, and I think there was a HBO or Showtime special or something.
Yeah.
That was like way more amazing than TV would have allowed.
Yeah,
and it's cool to see Pee-wee come back and do something like that because it was like tons of innuendo, a lot of adult material
mm-hmm.
going on. It'd be nice. I don't know, TV, network TV, no, and Al, network TV is too closed. Wouldn't be able to allow Al to do what he did.
Yeah,
what he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm having a great time talking to you.
Ruben,
keep talking. What
Ruben,
do you want to know?
I'm thinking we should do another interview sometime because I think we've already been talking for like 40 minutes.
See, usually the guest is the one that wants to go, and now this time the host is actually saying,
I don't want to go.
You've got
to
go.
I feel that you're so easy to talk to, and like I've only asked you like 4 questions. I want to have you on again. I want there to be more for us to talk about. If you'd be up for that.
Like I said, my only problem is telling too much, so I have to always watch myself.
I don't know how you can tell too much.
Then we can talk about all our wonderful fans.
Here, I'll find one more question. Oh, I want to hear about your side projects. How can we check that stuff out?
My side projects, I put out my CD, which will show you that my music is nothing like Al's.
Right.
And I was very, very happy with a lot of the stuff. I think, I'm a terrible salesman because the stuff is my stuff, comes from my heart. I feel like an idiot trying to tell people, hey, this is great, you should listen to it. It's just like all I'm saying is just preview it, see if you like it. I know you will. Adults like it. People that don't like Al, they like it. People that like Al, they like it. I'm doing everything from R&B to salsa to some jazz to rock to all sorts of stuff. You can go to rubenvaltiera.net.
.net?
That's RubenValtiera. .net.
Why not .com?
Because somebody went and grabbed it before I got a chance to want like $1,000 for me to be able to own it. It's like, give me a break.
Oh man,
That was like a long time ago. I wish that person would go away.
Do they still have it?
Yeah, they do. I don't know how much it would cost, but there's so many other ways to get a hold of me. Either like Facebook.
You Google your name, and your website's going to come up. It's almost like you don't even need to know your URLs anymore,
Google my name, and you see me wearing things I don't want to be wearing. my project is called the Valtiera Latin Orchestra.
The Velo? Is it called Velo?
Yeah, it's Velo, and that's what I usually call it for short, but it's the Valtiera Latin Orchestra. You find it on iTunes. And kind of stuff that I think a fan could give their parents, and their parents would go, this is great. this guy plays with Weird Al? Are you kidding?
I need to
that's
the
funny
that
thing.
Show.
I put it some DJ on a Latin station was saying, this is by blah, 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 and this was by blah, 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 and this is by Ruben Valtier and the Latin Orchestra, and the Valtier Latin Orchestra. My God, can you believe this guy plays with Weird Al? Who'd have thought he said that completely? I'm like, oh, my God.
People are so...
So when we're off the road, I have the opportunity to be able to sit in the studio and make up, create songs, and then I go and I go and record them with the finest people, the finest Latin jazz musicians on the planet, the guys that played with Santana, Tito Puente, on and on, all those guys, and they're all friends of mine.
That's great. And so we've got Elma on iTunes. We can check it out. What's the album called?
It's called Valtier Latin Orchestra. It's called, or else you can just type in VLO.
Okay.
Well, and I'm very proud of it.
I listened to some of it. It's not, I don't normally listen to stuff like that, but I appreciated it. I thought it was good.
Did you hear it? Really?
Yeah, there was 30-second samples on iTunes.
Right. Some of those iTunes samples, they're kind of crazy. I mean, some of them go almost as long as the song.
I think, yeah. I think one of them was like a minute and a half long.
Yeah, I know. It seems to be happening more. It's like, fine with me, because it's like sometimes they cut it off right at the good part.
Right.
And no. You
need to buy.
Please. Anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, Ruben, I'm still uncomfortable saying your name because I feel like I'm going to say it incorrectly.
You've been saying it perfectly.
Ruben?
Yes.
I feel like I'm saying it too long,
Nope.
I'm saying it correctly? Okay. Well, Ruben,
Don't say Ruben.
Right.
It's like saying, hey, Ben, Ruben.
Ruben.
It doesn't even make sense.
Well,
the accent's on the second side.
Oh, I forgot to put the accent on my paper. Where's the accent go? On the E?
Yeah.
Which way is it faced, to the right or the left?
It opens up. No, wait a minute.
Goes straight up?
Starts small and goes small and then ends up up. Does that make any sense?
No. So, wait, yeah. So like the top of the accent, does that face the N, or is it face the R?
Yeah, face okay. The N.
All right. Well, my sheet that no one else is ever going to see is now correct.
Did you take Spanish in high school?
I took French, and I forgot it all.
Ah, oui.
Yeah.
Je parle un peu de français.
Yeah. Okay.
Je parle un petit. You don't even remember that?
I have no idea. Si vous plaît, I know. That's please. Yeah. Ruben, I really appreciate you calling. I will you do another one?
Sure.
Okay, excellent.
Great. I'm sure your fans are probably going to write in a bunch of hate mail now, but, oh, well.
Hey, mail's mail,
Hate mail, demanding that I never come back.
Well, I'm the judge. It's my show. I want you to come back. So even if I get death threats, I'd still like you to come back.
There is no way that you're going to use 40 minutes of this material, 45 minutes.
No, I will. I don't know. Maybe I'll play part of it and put the rest online. My show's only 2 hours each week, so I don't have too much time.
Well, hopefully I was as amusing as Jim West.
You were. I've
hope so.
At the time of this recording, I've interviewed John and Jim so far, and they were both really great. So,
well, they're the best. Steve is. You can probably catch him the next time the mothership comes by this part of the galaxy, but he's a sweet guy too. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and hopefully you come near Albany and I'll get to say hi to you.
Yes, please come by. All right.
Thank you very much, Ruben Valtiera. Yeah,
that's me.
All right,
see you later, fans.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Ruben Valtiera, and he's the keyboardist for Weird Al. Really great guy. That was a lot of fun. I look forward to having him on again. So you can also check out the Valtiera Latin Orchestra, or VLO, VLO. Check them out on iTunes. They've got websites, all that good stuff.